question is not whether we've got the solutions to our challenges. We've had them within our grasp for quite some time.
You mentioned it was a tough decision. I don't think it was a tough decision.
Tony Katz.
It's time to start making decisions. You have waited long enough.
Did he have any enemies? Well, the Democrats didn't like him.
This is an extremely important issue.
This is the Tony Katz Show.
Shatem, Tony. I love your show. Keep it up, baby.
Racial oppression. That was Nelson Mandela, who emerged from prison after 27 years to lead his country out of decades of apartheid, died Thursday night, this evening, at the age of 95. His message of forgiveness, not vengeance, inspired the world after he negotiated a peaceful end to segregation and urged forgiveness for the white government that imprisoned him. I have an issue. I do, because it's... And chat room, agree, disagree. I want to hear from you at TonyKatz.com. I want to hear from you at 317-239-9393. I can't say that I was a fan of the man's politics. I cannot say that I was a believer in his message post-prison. I can say clearly that imprisoning a man for the color of his skin, for wanting to be free, is horrific, is shameful, and something that should be remembered. Just like we should remember slavery to make sure it doesn't happen again, and remember those who were in favor of slavery and cheer those who worked hard to abolish slavery, known as abolitionists. When you see that term in history books, those are the good guys, everybody, here in the United States, the abolitionists. So I cannot imagine. I have no frame of reference that would properly in any way, shape, or form get me to understand what life must have been like 27 years in a prison cell. But I don't like how this article was written. You know, the white government that imprisoned him. Apartheid is wrong. Apartheid is horrific. I think maybe it's because there's been so much about race over the past few years, especially since the election of President Obama and the calling of so many people racist just for expressing their opinion, that I read something like that and I say, my goodness, CNN can't even do a tribute right. They can't just say the words right. But this was a man who also, it's just important. I think it's important to recognize the history, but to recognize also the reality. And maybe there's a time for that. Maybe now's not the time to politicize. And that's not my objective in any way, shape, or form. This was a man who was not in favor of capitalism. This was a man who really believed in socialism. A man who, to many, also believed in communism. I cannot in any way condone those kinds of things. I cannot condone those kinds of behaviors in any way. And the history books will be written, and some of them will be written without these important facts. And I think that this, you know, I haven't read through this entire CNN article. This is an article. Remember, they're able to come out with this stuff because they have it. All news agencies have the obituaries ready to go. And then they just plug in time, date, et cetera. That's what they do. Trust me. There's one on everybody. There's one on every president. There's one on every famous figure. They're ready to go at all times. But it's going to be interesting to watch and curious to watch how people talk about this. There's going to be a level of reverential that I think is inappropriate, and there's going to be a level of slamming that I think is inappropriate. You can't. I don't think you can discuss Nelson Mandela all in the, well, here's what he didn't do right. 27 years in a prison cell is going to inspire a lot of people. And you know what? I think that should. I think the idea that we tell anybody that they are less than because of the color of their skin. Notice I didn't say which color. Because of the color of their skin, all skin having some kind of pigmentation, is horrific. That's something that we're better than. That is something that's worth continued conversation. And you take a look at that part of his life, and you must, as far as I can see it, be amazed. But the history will start getting written and will start getting discussed, and you will hear people say, how dare you say anything but, you know, great man. Well, I think that you can, on many subjects, talk about the lacking, the wanting. People who have gone through struggle don't always end up wonderful people on the other side. And what they're struggling for is not always something of value. Certainly, if someone is struggling to bring about a more socialist mindset, no, not of value. In no way of value. I'd be the first one to say it, and I'd probably be the loudest one to say it. The chat room is weighing in on this. Our dear friend Steve Rosenblum talking about Robert Byrd ignoring his racism and his membership in the KKK in the way they eulogized him. I'm not in any way saying that Nelson Mandela is anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the history will start being written, and people will write it unfairly in many, many ways. I think it's acceptable to recognize the struggle there and the disgusting unfairness of locking him in a cell. I think that is worthy of conversation, reminding, and inspiration. But if you're going to tell the story of Nelson Mandela, it's got to be the whole story. It's got to be the complete story. And we have to accept the good with the bad. If we don't, if we cherry pick, that's revisionist history. And nobody wins. Let's make sure we don't do that. Keep it right here. More ahead, including Fast Food Thursday. This is Tony Katz Tonight. Tony Katz Tonight, everybody. 800-571-9422. Locally, 317-239-9393. Online at TonyKatz.com. That is TonyKatz. Follow me on Twitter at Tony Katz as well. Fast Food Thursday. We kind of started it here. Wrote the article there at WIBC.com about the big labor bullies on Fast Food Thursday, how they want to unionize and get those union dues, how they want to push this myth of the living wage. That has led to, it's been a nonstop day of interviews and traveling all around Los Angeles, trying to find a protester, couldn't do it, but it took off. People all across the country went and supported these franchise owners in their fight. The fight being launched against them by big labor and their cronies and the progressives. People like Sandra Fluke, who wanted to say that this was about social justice. I am calling her a liar. This is not about social justice. A $15 living wage, which, by the way, there's no such thing as a living wage, it does not make social justice. Why $15? Who decided that was the number? You, Sandra? You decided that $15 was social justice? Exactly how much power do you think you have? Such nonsense. And so there was a lot that happened today, and I did quite a few interviews on this on Fast Food Thursday, and it started there was this posting by the Huffington Post, 12 facts you need to know about the strikes today. 12 important facts, written by a guy named R.J. Esko, Richard Esko, writer, senior fellow, Campaign for America's Future. I have to tell you that there is not a thing here that helps you regarding the strike because it doesn't discuss the main issues. This is about getting people into unions. This is about shaming workers. And this is about getting workers to participate in a shakedown against franchisees who are very often major players in their societies, in their neighborhoods, in their communities. Right? When you need something as a fundraiser for the school, you're going to that local franchisee. When you need a donation for the silent auction, you're going to that franchisee. When you want to make sure there's a discount for teachers or for veterans, you're going to that franchisee. They play a major part in communities, if you want to use that word, in neighborhoods. And that's who is being attacked today. So they put this thing out, 12 facts about Thursday's fast food strike. And I have my burger right here. I've already taken a couple of bites. I may take another bite during the show. If I choke, Paige, go to break. The average fast food worker, for example, makes $8.69 an hour. which is above the minimum wage. They say if wages had kept pace with productivity gains, the minimum wage would be over $16 an hour. Well, that's kind of interesting, but let's not forget all of the things that the franchisee, the business, has to pay because of rules and regulations that government has put into place. I mentioned the other day that a gallon of milk has gone up massively. Maybe it wasn't here. Maybe it was one of the interviews. A gallon of milk has gone up in price tremendously. I used to talk about the fact that under President Obama, beef is up 24%, bacon is up 22%. Milk just recently has exploded. A quart of half and half, like, you know, you have for your coffee. Holly, I mean, you do the shopping in your house, or does the Mr. Bacon, because you're in the pregnant state?
I do the shopping.
Okay, so you're not drinking coffee, but maybe Mr. Bacon is. A quart of half and half here in Los Angeles at Trader Joe's, which is not an expensive place. It's not a Whole Foods place. It's known for having this unbelievably good quality stuff at wonderful prices. $1.79. That was a quart of half and half. It is now $2.29.
How much?
$2.29.
Holy cow. Yeah, it's
exactly.
It's $1.78 here. For Walmart brand.
Okay, and I'm curious to know if it's gone up, where that rise has been. So there have been these unbelievable rises in prices, and these rises in prices do affect what gets paid to employees, because you have to balance those costs somehow. Remember, all of this is predicated on the idea that what the progressive is really opposed to is profit. I mean, it's so horrible. It's being opposed to profit is got to be one of the most laughable and insulting things I can think of. It's so gross. The CEO, they say, of McDonald's Corporation makes $13.8 million a year. So it says to me that what I want to do is not be a guy who's on the front lines taking your order. I want to be in management. I want to be working for corporate. Maybe if I work at it and I pay attention and I keep my nose to the grindstone, I can make that happen. See, not like the millennials who think it should just be given to them. McDonald's cost the American taxpayer an estimated $1.2 billion in public assistance per year. This is what he says. In other words, taxpayer money is subsidizing this large corporation's profit at the expense of American workers. I'm still not sure what they're saying. Taxpayer money is subsidizing this large corporation's profits? Or are they saying that the people who work there need public assistance as well? Well, saying that McDonald's is costing taxpayers $1.2 billion a year, that's just wrong. That's just completely wrong. Maybe the Obama economy is costing taxpayers $1.2 billion a year, because if there were more jobs out there, maybe they wouldn't be working. People who are far more qualified in these positions. McDonald's made $1.5 billion in profits last quarter. So, it has nothing to do with the franchisee who didn't make $1.5 billion in profits, who you are attacking and you feel good about yourself for it. These 10 companies, the largest fast food companies out there, earned $7.4 billion in profits last year, and they paid out $7.7 billion in dividends. Holly, if you, I know you play the stock market, you're a huge player, massive portfolio, you're a whale, as they call them there in Vegas. If you are an investor in a stock, don't you want a dividend?
Heck yeah.
What's wrong with $7.7 billion? I think that's fantastic. That means millions of Americans made money by their investment. That's what you want. That's a good thing. Why in the world would that be a fact to know about the evil corporations? But it's not the corporation. It's the franchisee. So I did a lot of these interviews, and that story was stunning, right? And I thank the people, good people at Twitchy, who really highlighted this today and highlighted the stuff we did here on this show and then what others were doing. There's a fantastic picture of our dear friend Dana Lash, who you hear every day here on WIBC, eating one of the burgers, one of the Hardee's truck. So it's Carl's Jr. in the West, but it's Hardee's in the east, even though she's west of the Mississippi. I don't know how that works. But the truck came to the studio, and she's in the truck eating the burger. I thought it was a fantastic shot. You should go check it out. It's on her Instagram account, probably on the site there as well. We should put it on the WIBC site. A lot of people joined in, and I'm thrilled by it. But I had this conversation with a guy named Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman is a progressive radio talk show host. He also does a television show on RTV, which is Russia Today. It is quite literally paid for by the Russian government. There are no commercials. So you can imagine the kind of show it is. You can imagine the kind of person he is. I believe in going into the lion's den and having these conversations. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how he handled the interview and how some other people handled the interview with emails to me, including one guy who compared me to egg salad. I swear to you, you're going to love it. Keep it right here. This is Tony Katz Tonight. See, that's funny, Paige, because the song is called Cold Shot, and it's snowing in Indianapolis.
I'm glad you picked up on that.
That is hilarious. Tony Katz Tonight, everybody. 800-571-9422, locally 317-239-9393. The snow coming down now in Indianapolis. Drive safe, everybody. One of our dear friends there, Prairie Dog, in our chat room over there at Tony Katz Tonight. This is from Indiana Department of Transportation. There are closures or blockages on US 35, on the 66, on the 912. You have right here South Sherman Drive in both directions. The bridge is closed. 156th Street in both directions. The road is closed. You have outside the city, West 100 North, in both directions. Road closed because of major road construction work, probably far worse in the area. Winter storm warning for Boone County, Hamilton County, Madison County, Delaware County, Randolph County, Park, Putnam, Hendricks, Marion, Hancock, Henry. Wait a second, I can't read that fast. Hold on. Vigo, Clay, Owen, Morgan, Johnson Scott, and Rush counties, all of them with winter storm warnings, not just the watches, but the warnings. This is going on in real time. Also, wait, what was that? Wayne, Fayette, and Union counties. I-69 northbound, there's a crash. The right lane is blocked, according to Indiana DOT. So that was I-70. I-70 both direction with limit in effect. As I said, 156th Street in both directions. The road is closed. I-465 westbound. There's a crash. The right lane is blocked. Just some of the things going on because of the snow. If you don't have to drive, don't do it. Just don't be a part of it. We'll have more about the weather, what's going on with the snow, with the storm, and how it's going to affect tomorrow's commute as well a little bit later. Also, keep it at 93 WIBC. Early in the morning, they will have everything. Steve and the gang there will have every last bit of traffic and weather and give you the latest on what's going on. And Paige, if Alex is still around, Alex Brown, who does often the traffic and the weather there from the news center, if he's got anything, any late breaking, any news, let's drop it in throughout the rest of the program.
Absolutely.
Let's get people a head start on what's going on. I was talking about Fast Food Thursday, and so I had this interview with this guy named Tom Hartman. I've done his program before. I know what I'm dealing with. I'm a trained professional when it comes to dealing with progressives who want to move the ball. But every now and then you're reminded how good they are at what they do. Because the conversation I was having and what I wrote on WIBC that got picked up by Town Hall, that got picked up by Fox Nation, was Fast Food Thursday because big labor bullies need a beatdown. I'm referring to the big labor as the bullies, because that's what they're doing. The first thing he says to me is, Tony, great to have you on the program. Why are fast food workers bullies? What? Did he not read the article? Did it not even matter to him? Not what I said. So it started with a false premise. That is sometimes a tactic used to immediately get you off base and get you explaining. Because when you're explaining, you can't be winning. That's usually how it goes. That's why things work in those sound bites and those one-liners. And you got to keep at it, and you can't let the conversation turn. And you'll see this if you get to, anyway, hear the interview there at Tom Hartman's site, or if I can get it, I'll post it. How he moves in this circular, because I start explaining the conversation, that these workers are being exploited. I don't know why you're in favor of workers being exploited. It's big labor that wants these people unionized so they could take the union dues. He then went into a conversation about how unions can't just use the money that's gathered for political purposes. If a union member doesn't want it used for a campaign, that money has to actually get refunded. And there was a conversation, something called VCAP and what have you. But the conversation kept moving. It didn't stay on whether or not there should be something called the living wage, which I did call a myth because it is a myth. That got discounted. Even when this progressive host himself said, can't they get $10 or $11? $15 would be nice. Proving my point. And by the way, he went off script. I don't even know why he said $10 or $11. But prove my point that there is no such thing as a living wage. It is a myth. It's what people think someone else should get. The market decides what people get, right? What the job is worth. And if people want to earn more money, they got to go out there and actually earn more money. Different jobs, different responsibility levels to get that money, etc. And then he moved into the following. Pretty interesting. Started talking about what CEOs and others and the rich should get capped at. Because after all, when they have more money, they use more services and they take up the courts. And that people who have $3 million or more take up 70% of the court's resources, and they should have to pay the 74% tax rate. People, you know, back in the day paid a much higher tax rate than they do right now. They were totally fine with it. Everything was great. Ladies and gentlemen, I stuck by my guns and said I don't accept the fact that we should punish people for financial success. I don't see that as a winner. He was trying to have this conversation that you didn't build that conversation, that because these people have made all this money, it's because of the infrastructure that we paid for. So therefore, they owe us. I don't believe that that's true. I believe by being successful, they're already contributing to the economy in a way that helps more people grow. I got emails from people asking me why I was defending the rich. Some of them were very nice emails. They were thoughtful emails. They were worthy emails. And then I got this. Where is it? Oh, come on. Where is it? It was. Oh my gosh, I can't find it. There it is. A guy named Eric. He writes, dude, if you're going to try and take on a heavyweight like Tom Hartman, you'd better bring more than the egg salad sandwich that got mashed all over your face on his program today. I still don't know what the hell that means. I've been doing radio a long time. No one has ever compared me or told me that I had an egg salad sandwich smashed to my face. You gotta love an ideologue. More when we return, everybody. Keep it right here. This is Tony Katz Tonight.